The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What We Said podcast. Today, we have a very special, gorgeous guest with us in the studio. It is my mom, Jilly. Welcome.
Thanks.
You have not been here in like 3 years.
No.
I swear. Maybe 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
Because the only episode you were on was with when we had you and Chelsea's mom on, right? For Mother's Day? Or did you come on again?
I did one. Did I do another design one like way in the beginning?
Maybe.
I feel like I did, but I remember doing the one with Chelsea's mom at the house, but I don't remember the other one. But it seemed like we did.
A different one?
I don't know. Maybe you just took questions or something and I answered some on your story or something.
I honestly can't remember. But regardless, I feel like it's been a while. So maybe thoughts and feelings have changed. Maybe your design tips will be new now.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, we can't even remember them. So
yeah, they couldn't have been that great. Chelsea is on maternity leave, as you guys know, just for a few more weeks. And she's doing great. If you guys saw, she had her baby. He is so cute and perfect and healthy. And she's doing awesome. And we're going to wait for herself to obviously give you guys all the whole story on her birth and everything. But
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, she is doing great. So just to give you guys a little update, and you guys can go follow her on Instagram or look at her Instagram for photos, the name reveal, everything. But everything's going great. And yeah, I'm excited for her to come back. But it'll be fun to do a few little guest episodes. So Jilly is on today because we are going to talk all about, well, we're going to talk about a lot of things.
Okay.
But I think primarily focusing on like design and how to make a space feel cozy. To give some context, let's explain why we would bring you on to talk about this topic. She's like, I don't know.
Good question.
Well, the reason is because Jilly is a self-taught thrift extraordinaire.
This is true.
Would you say interior designer or decorator?
A decorator always has this kind of negative connotation, like in the design world. Like, interior designers hate to be called decorators.
Okay, but aren't they different things?
I mean, I did a lot of like prop styling, which is basically, you know, interior styling. Uh-huh. So I don't know. Sometimes I say I'm a prop stylist. Sometimes I just say I'm a stylist. I did lots of homes for magazine shoots.
Uh-huh.
So that's a stylist. So, I mean, I've done some pretty extensive remodels. So that.
You have a lot of experience.
That falls into interior design for sure, because when you're designing, you know, spaces from the ground up. But yeah, I don't care what you call me. Call me a decorator, call me a designer, call me a stylist. Like, I like them all.
And you also didn't go to school for it.
No.
So it's not something that you,
unfortunately,
like, got a degree in or anything.
No.
But you just have a natural eye for design. And you always have.
I've always loved it.
You've always done creative ventures. I've talked about on the podcast a little bit how you've just always had your own little businesses.
Yes.
I can think of like five off the top of my head.
At least.
And it's all just like she would make and sew Christmas stockings. Like, but very intricate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how do you describe those stockings?
They were fancy. It was like in the fancy era. Just lots of trims, embroidery.
Fleur-de-lis.
Like damask fabrics and velvets and, like, yeah, they were not like shabby chic, like light and airy. They were very opulent and
So you would make stockings. You've done like cupcake baking, caterer situation.
I've done lots of food stuff. I did a little purse company, yes, with a friend. I did also made those big signs for like entryways. You remember, for outside?
Of course.
It would say like the address.
Did you kind of, I don't want to say invent that.
Yes.
But I swear you did.
Yes, I did.
So
I made those up.
She would make these signs that say your address on them, right?
Yes.
And it would say like the blank residence, like whoever lived there. And it would be like in this beautiful
frame. A big, huge frame. And then inside would be a smaller frame that would say like the house number, like 3154.
No, let's not give your house number.
I'm not.
I have to media train her. She's like, here, my address.
That's just a random number, 3154. And then it would say like the street number. So I would hand paint everything, all the wording, all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I would like really, you know, like find really fun frames of vintage antique stuff. And then there would be a quote about home. And And I had, you know, lots of different ones that, or people could pick their own. So those were fun. And I did a lot of them.
You have done so many things like that.
What about sewing all the cheerleading costumes for my squad, like in high school? Like, it started back then.
You've been a crafty queen since day one. And did you also, when you were growing up, did you love to like redo your room and stuff like that?
And my parents were so great about just letting me, every time I had an idea, and it seemed like it was like every couple of years, right? We would do, my mom would be like, yes, let's do it. She was super encouraging. And she got me my own sewing machine when I was 8. And signing me up for sewing lessons. That was my 8-year-old birthday present. So I really wish I had the shirt I made. Oh my gosh, if I can find that, I can still see it in my head. Puff sleeve, navy and kind of silvery striped shirt. If I can find that for the baby, it would be so fun. Anyway, so yeah, like I would sew bedding and pillows and curtains and... Mm-hmm. My mom would always like help me rearrange my room, put the bed on a different wall, move the dresser around. Like it was really fun.
Yeah, you've done it all. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, sometimes as the seasons change, I feel like our social batteries change. So maybe you're starting to be more social than you were in the winter. Springtime's happening. There's events. I feel like I've been just out and about and doing more stuff. And sometimes that can be a little bit draining. Sometimes you can spread yourself thin. So you got to figure out what the right amount of socializing is for you and how you recharge. Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some more alone time. And therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. Therapy can help with positive coping skills, empowering you to be the best version of yourself. And it is not just for people who have experienced major trauma. I think sometimes when we hear the word therapy, first of all, it can feel a little daunting or scary, but you don't have to have experienced something super traumatic or major in your life. Maybe you're just not feeling like the best version of yourself and you want to learn some new coping skills, or you're dealing with a hard relationship in your life and you want some advice, or you just want someone to talk to if you're feeling lonely. And therapy can be awesome for any of those reasons. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, because you really want to find someone that you trust, that you get along with, and that you feel comfortable with. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatwesaid today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatwesaid. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, and I am so happy it is, because I absolutely love Squarespace. I have used it for so, so many things in my life. Literally every business venture I've ever started has come along with a Squarespace website. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. So whether you are just starting out or you're managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your own terms. Something I love about Squarespace is just all the different templates that they have to make your website really beautiful, really user-friendly, without you yourself having to know a ton about website coding or technology, honestly. You can kind of just like insert your photos, insert your assets, insert the text you want to be there, and just go off of a template that they already have, but you can still add little things to customize it, which is awesome. You can sell custom merch very easily on Squarespace and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. Design your products and production, inventory, and shipping are all handled for you, saving you time and money. They also have an asset library, which is really game-changing. You can upload, organize, and access all your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have a lot of insight into analytics, so you can use your insights to grow your business. You can learn where your site visits are coming from and your sales. Analyze what channels are most effective for you and improve your website and build a marketing strategy based on the top keywords or most popular products and content that people are liking, which is super valuable information when you are running a brand or any sort of company. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/whatwesaid to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that is squarespace.com/whatwesaid. Go check it out. I feel like there's so many different design questions. I also asked on Instagram for you guys if you had any specific questions about like making a space feel cozy or just design tips or anything like that. So there's a ton of that stuff to get into. I'm wondering if we should actually start with something else because I feel like we're going to talk about the design stuff forever. But a few things. First of all, you're going to be a grandmother. You're going to be a grandma.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, finally.
No, it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Because I turned 50 and now I'm ready to be a grandma.
It really was.
It's really nice timing.
It's really good timing.
I don't know that I really want to be a grandma when I was in my 40s. It seemed really young. I mean, of course, I would have been super happy, but.
So you had me. You had me when you were 21.
Uh-huh.
Like barely 21.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, I turned 21 in December and had you in January.
So if I was following the same trajectory, I would have an 8-year-old right now.
Isn't that so crazy?
Which is wild to think about and so crazy. But it is, I was thinking about how you are the oldest girl in your family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the oldest girl in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm having a girl.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a specific, I don't know how much you've done research on like birth order. I honestly haven't done much research either. But I feel like there's so much to be said about the way, like when you're born, how it affects like your personality and stuff like that. And I feel like you definitely have that older sister energy, and so do I. And
is that good or bad?
You know, it's pros and cons. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think even just the fact that you've like had all these businesses and done all this stuff, and then I kind of followed in the same path. That's like, I'm curious. I'm not putting any expectations. I'm like, I hope she's making good money. No, but I'm curious how, you know, it'll, now my daughter will be the oldest and
I'm just so excited to have a mini JC, and it's just been so long since we had a girl in the family.
Yeah.
Like it's been almost 30 years since we had a girl in our immediate family, and like you have no idea how exciting this is for me.
I know. It's going to be really, really fun. And yeah, it's just, it's good timing. It feels like.
It feels really good.
Yeah, it feels really good. It feels right. And Carter was just in town, my little brother, and he was like, I love Lady so much, for real. He's like, I can't actually imagine how much I'm going to love your daughter. And I'm like, that is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Cute.
And I feel like the boys are just going to be such
They're
good uncles.
They're so excited. Yeah.
They're so excited. It's been a very exciting time.
It has.
Everyone wants the tea on your brows.
Oh.
So we're going to get into the brow journey. If you're not aware, is it called an eyebrow transplant?
Yes.
My mom got an eyebrow transplant. Shh. Give us all the details on why you wanted to get it, how it was, and how you feel now.
Well, I wanted to get it because I had no eyebrows. Like zero eyebrows. They fell out. They never came back. And I penciled them on for 25 years.
Eyebrows.
I never had great eyebrows. They were light and they were kind of low. But eyebrows weren't really a thing. Like,
What do you mean?
In my teenager and like young adulthood, people like, we didn't even talk about eyebrows.
Okay, interesting.
No one plucked. No one did anything with their eyebrows. They were a non-existent part of your face. They were never a point of attention at all.
Interesting.
So I never really thought about them. And then when I went through a divorce, they all fell out, which I didn't even really realize because there were other... Other things were going on. And then one day, you know, like, I don't know, 6 months later or something, I was getting ready for something and I'm like,
excuse me,
where are my eyebrows? Anyway, so they never came back. So I was penciling on, and I did get tattoos, eyebrow tattoos, probably like, I don't know, probably close to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I got tattoos, but, you know, that they were brand new then. And
the tattooed eyebrows?
That was a new thing. So it was kind of. You know, I got into it like early. I only had them done once. And
did you like when you got them done? Did you like them?
I don't think I ever really loved them, but it was better than having nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then they started fading and getting smaller. And so then I really was penciling. And then the last probably 7 or 8 years, they were completely gone. So I was just penciling. Anyway, all that to say, so I just didn't have eyebrows. So I wanted eyebrows. What was your second question?
Yeah, just why did you want them? And then just kind of the research process and doing it.
So about 10 years ago, I must have typed into Google, like, what do you do when you don't have any eyebrows?
What to do when your eyebrows
don't exist. All do when we need an answer to something. So, I found this guy, a surgeon, who was just starting to do it. He was in Miami, and he hadn't done that many, so there were only a few befores and afters, and I wasn't quite ready to take that plunge. And it was seemed really new. Like, it seemed like he was kind of the only one in the States doing it. So I kind of followed his journey, and like, I'd get on his website once a year, a couple times a year. And then I got really serious about it. Well, I was coming up to my 50th birthday. And I was just like, I want to do something for myself that I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good eyebrows.
Did my chin inspire you at all?
Probably.
Like, do you feel like?
Sure.
Really?
Like, yeah.
I was going to say, you never told me not to do my chin and stuff. Like, but I felt like you and Dad did not want me to do it. Like,
Dad did not want you to do it. He's like, she's so cute.
Like, you're so cute how you are, which is like, that's beautiful.
She looks so young. She just looks like such a little girl. I'm afraid, like, Dad was, and I was like, I'm all for it. Like, if she wants to, I don't think she.
The problem is I'm 30, so we're not trying to look like a little girl anymore. It's time to grow up.
Yeah. Anyway, no, Dad was just like, I can't believe she's going to do that. And I was like, I was always like, I'm fine with it. She really wants it. She's done her research. She's not going to do anything crazy.
I think, to be fair, obviously now that I'm even having a daughter, it's like if she was like, I'm going to get this facial plastic surgery, I'd be like, oh, gosh, you know, I hope it looks good. I hope you like it. I can understand why that would be
also
scary.
Like, I just completely trust you and I knew you weren't going to do anything like nuts.
Yeah.
So anyway, I started looking a little more into it and I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it because like I'd love to enjoy however many years I have left with eyebrows. Now, also, there's a 15% chance that it doesn't work. So you have to sign all kinds of waivers when you go have this
really?
Done.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, sometimes your body just, like, won't accept it. So they'll do the transplant.
Tell people how they do it, because I didn't even know this existed. And I will admit, even when you were telling me, you're like, I'm going to get an eyebrow transplant. I was kind of like, not that I was thinking you shouldn't. I was just like,
never heard of it.
Yeah, never heard of it. What the heck
don't
is that?
Don't know anyone
like,
who's ever
done
it.
Let me see some photos. So
did I show you some before and afters that he
I think so. Yeah. And I was like, wow, those look really good. So, yeah, tell people how they do
so,
it.
So first of all, my surgeon had me go to a dermatologist and rule out
alopecia.
I had a Zoom consultation with him during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember that.
And he's just like, go, you know, you'll be a really good candidate if it's not alopecia. And so I went and did that. And then, you know, it took me another couple of years to like really decide, hey, I'm going to do this. So what they do is there's two different methods. One's called FUT and one's called FUE. And I'm not quite sure. I think the FUT is the more invasive one where they actually cut like a strip of hair off the back of your head. Like they scalpel out a whole thing and take it because then they've got this whole strip of hair with all the hairs
that
they can harvest. Huh? And so, and then the other one, the FUE, is where they take them out one by one.
And that's what you did, right?
So no, I did a little of both. So okay. I had the FUE like on both sides and then the FUT like where they took the strip out along the back of my head.
Okay.
So then, you know, they like give you some real happy pills that you're a little bit loopy. You're not completely out, but like you're just feeling like everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 6 hours and they inserted 350 follicles on each side of, so 700 hairs altogether.
On your eyebrows?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And they basically, because you didn't really have eyebrows, like they created the shape of them. And and what I was noticing in some of your before and afters is like your original, the way you would pencil them or like
the tattoo.
Your tattoos, like they kind of like didn't open your eyes as much. And now
they really went down. And I still have a little bit of a faded tattoo on this side. Mm. And when I don't have makeup on, you can see it pretty easily.
Yeah.
This one had kind of really all faded off, but he gave me a new shape. And what I did not do is micromanage him. So I had gathered pictures for years about perfect eyebrow shapes, like people that I thought kind of had similar face shapes or hair mm-hmm. color, like hair texture and stuff like that to mine. And so I went in like, you know,
with an idea, armed
with some photos. And he's like, I really don't want to see those. And I'm like, oh, no. He's like, no, I can look at you and I know exactly what
right.
needs to happen. And I mean, this was my first time meeting him in person the day of the surgery.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, I know exactly what you need. And you know what? You just let the pros do what they do.
Yeah, for sure. If you trust them and you've seen a bunch of before and afters,
yeah.
With my chin, I felt the same way where he, even because I had buccal fat removal, he was like, I'm going to take like basically none out of your left side
uh-huh.
and I'm going to take way more out of your right.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, okay. He's like, I just am going for, you know, as much symmetry as we can get.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to get it. And he told me after the surgery that he had taken, I'm like maybe exaggerating, but he's like, I took like this much from your left side and I took like this much from your right because my right was so much more full. Anyway, so it's just like you have to let them do
their
thing.
I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to micromanage him. And even when he drew them on, like they literally draw them on with like blue Sharpie.
You're like,
I mean, it's perfect. It's very shocking. It's not a good look. But he stood back and looked. He kind of drew two different ones on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, you want me to tell you which one I like better? And I'm like, sure. And he's like, I like this one. And this is the reason why. I mean, you know, I did go in and I was like, look, I don't want anything. Like, I have a kind of a small face and I have small features. Obviously, like, I don't want huge, anything crazy. I just want to look like I would
have eyebrows.
Yeah. Just normal eyebrows. So anyway, I am going to do a YouTube video.
Oh, slay. She's getting into her YouTube era. Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm going to do a comprehensive YouTube video. Although, you know, I did it all on my Instagram. Like, there's two bubbles on my highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Bubbles on my Instagram that, like, I really documented it.
Yeah. I'll link her Instagram for you
guys. I wasn't going to, but 3 or 4 days in, and I'd been recording the whole time just kind of for my own, I was like, you know what? There's no education on this. There is no one that has gone into depth with what to expect, what this is like, what the surgery itself is like, the healing, the recovery, the afters, like none of it. So I just really exposed myself and put it all out there. And yeah, I'm going to do like a comprehensive YouTube video, like, because I just celebrated 1 year.
Of having them. And you love them. And they look so good.
Thanks.
And they look so natural. And I feel like, again, they just look so normal to me now, which I think is the best. I don't think about them, which I think is the best sign of good work is that you just but then now when I see photos of you before, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how much it just like enhanced your features.
Yeah,
but
I mean, everyone's so sweet. Everyone's like, you didn't have eyebrows before? I mean, no, you know, your own worst enemy, right? Like, you are picking yourself apart more than anyone else will. But everyone's like, you know, yeah, they look so good. So I'm still shocked every time I get out of the shower. Because, of course, like, I would have no eyebrows when I came out of the shower.
Yeah.
And when I get out of the shower and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're
like
so dark.
Like a beauty queen.
Also, this is my hair. Like, I'm not coloring it. I'm not tinting it. I'm not doing anything to it. And it's, like, it's dark. And I'm shocked.
Because they took it from the
back of your
head.
I always thought I would still have to, like, fill in with a little pencil or do something like that. But, no, I just literally don't do one thing to them. So, they're fantastic.
And a fun fact about them, though, is that they, like, you have to trim them a lot. Because it's because they took it from the back of your head, it just grows, like the hair on your head almost, right?
Yeah. So the surgeon said that after maybe, like, 2 years, between a year and two, they would kind of figure out where their new position is. Mm. They would kind of morph into more of an eyebrow hair texture. Because, you know, it's a little more coarse.
It's, like, thicker, yeah.
Yeah. And they would start, like, laying down. I've already really noticed the laying down part. Like, at first, they were kind of just almost, like, growing
jutting out.
Yeah, straight out. And I had to, like, really gel them. Now I just gel them lightly once in a while. So that part's really changed. And, yeah, and he said they'd stop growing like that. So right now, I trim them, like, every 3 days.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it, right?
Oh, yeah. It takes 2 seconds. Like, it's not.
We've been Anastasia brow freezing these babies down.
Yes.
They've been... Just kind of, they wouldn't lay as...
Yeah, they're not.
As normal eyebrows would, especially at the beginning when you're, like, training them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go
look at
their
Instagram. The scariest thing is when they all fell out.
Oh, because that's part of the process.
That's part of the process. But anyway, they came... Then I was terrified, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the 15% where these things just never come back. Just watch.
Oh, that would be
after
horrible.
All this time, after 10 years of wanting them, after the money, after this... healing after the recovery, like, they're just gonna fall out and never come back. I was so happy
that
they started coming back in. Yeah,
well, they look amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, and you can check out the Instagram, and I'm gonna do, I hope to in the near future do a video.
Nice.
YouTube.
So Jilly's been helping with our house.
So
there's
fun.
Been lots and lots of design decisions that we've been making together. People were asking if, like, I have a designer, if I'm doing it. And I feel like we're kind of tag teaming. You're giving me, obviously, a ton of insight. There are so many things about renovating a house that, little details I, like, would have never thought of. And I was like, oh, so what way are you, you know, what are you doing with this? I can't even think of an example. Even the way the doors swing or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I forgot.
Where a light switch is going.
Yeah.
Where you're going to place. Yeah. There's
millions of things.
Yeah.
Like, where the vent is going to be. Oh, well, that's going to be, you know, did you want to hang something there? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's so many choices. So Jilly is basically our in-house designer, helping us with the layout. You were a huge part of just the layout in general.
Yeah, changed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because we're working with these architects and they've been really great and they've had some good ideas. We've kind of all been meshing our ideas together. Like, they would have an idea, you know, what if we push this wall back?
They have some
what
great
if we
ideas.
Put the door here or whatever? And I basically they had created a floor plan for us or whatever based around a meeting we had had. And then I met with my mom and I was like, what do you think of this? And she's like, well, I would do this, 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 I would change this. And then I had some changes I wanted to make. And basically I sent them back an email of like a comprehensive, just a list of every detail. And when I met with them next, they were like, thank you so much for sending all those details. They're like, we've never had someone send so many like changes. Oh, no. Or
people usually hate me. The contractors hate me. The architects hate me. The husbands hate me. It usually turns into quite the hate fest.
Because you just want to make so many edits.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was funny. They were like, but you were so detailed. It was like very helpful. And then they made it. And it's literally exactly what we want. Like,
yeah, it's so great.
It's so great. And they meshed some of their ideas as well, which was awesome. But
yeah, they had some great ones.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I said when we went and saw the house is the front door's got to move.
Yeah.
The position of this front door is all wrong. And that I kind of worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first thing that came to me. And then based on that kind of is how everything else morphed. But that front door was
It was like basically you terrible. Walk into a wall.
You walked into a wall like, I don't a few know, feet probably, away. Yeah, a few feet away from you. Just a straight wall.
It wasn't flowing. It wasn't open at all. It was a really choppy floor plan. So we changed a lot about it. But yeah, what would you say for, I feel like renovating is a little more maybe niche and specific, and I think people listening maybe based on the comments I was getting, they want to hear more about like, you know, just designing their current house or maybe their rental and stuff.
Yeah,
so I don't want to go too far into the whole renovating thing, but where do you feel like you start when you're designing a space? Like maybe it's somewhere someone already lives and we're not talking about like, oh, let's remove this floor or,
right,
or
a
this
wall.
Yeah, like,
let's move this. Or
let's just
that.
Say someone's moving into a house or rental, whether they bought it or not. They're not making a ton of changes like that, but they want to just design.
I think you and I have had this conversation before, and I think I've told a lot of people this. If you want a rug, you better start with the rug.
Mm.
Because it is so hard to finish a room and then be like, okay, now like we need the rug. Almost impossible, to be honest.
Interesting.
If you want a rug, if you're on, you know, tile or hardwood or whatever you're on, if you want a rug, you better start there. And that can dictate a lot of your design. That personally, that's my thought. I don't know. Some designers might really disagree with that. But in my experience, the rug is a place to start if you're starting fresh.
Because of what? Just like the placement of the furniture, the colors and stuff like that? Everything?
Size, colors. Yeah. Placement of furniture. Like maybe you have your whole room done and then you fall in love with a rug that's kind of got a center medallion, but the rug isn't centering up in your room. And so like the design looks really off because like you have this medallion that starts in the middle and goes out, but it's just really hard if you don't start with a rug.
Well, maybe I need to get a living room rug then because I don't have one at the moment for
my new
house.
You're not taking the old one?
I don't think so.
I think you're ready for a new one.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for a new situation.
You've had that one for a few years.
Yeah.
And rugs are, I mean, not that they're cheap, but they are something that can make a big impact that you can change.
Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference in a room.
Huge,
a rug
yeah.
makes a big difference. How do you feel like someone could find their personal style, their personal interior design style without just falling into typical trends? Like, what would your advice be? Just pick what you're drawn to when you're at a store.
I mean,
thrifting.
Yeah, all the textbook answers, like what colors are you drawn to wear yourself? Like, what, you know, what clothes do you usually go to? That's, you know, kind of a basic place to start. It's really hard because with social media now, trends are just so huge and you can kind of get sucked into, oh, I love that. Just because you're presented with a beautiful room or a beautiful space that you look at, you think you love, but you like you and your family would not function there at all.
Right.
Like it's not really feasible or it's not even really an option. So have you ever gone into someone's house that maybe it's not like tip top design savvy and worthy and all that, but like you just feel so good in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's because they have designed it to fit them and to represent them. And it just feels like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's not. Like, I mean, just, I'm not even saying, well, maybe this is. Like, my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure it wasn't you know, like,
was it going to be an Architectural Digest?
No, but like looking back at it, and I loved going there because they had different things and unique things and things that meant something to them. Mm-hmm. And they were cowboys and they raised and raced mules. And it was just so homey and so them that I was just so comfortable there. And so
that's such a good point. It's like,
because it just represented who they were and they were so comfortable in their own space.
Yes.
I have friends that have a ton of money that could get anything they want, but they're super simple people and they like not a lot of clutter and clean lines, just things that make sense. So literally most of their house comes from IKEA.
Yeah.
And they could literally hire any designer they want and have anything they want, but their house is so cozy and comfortable because it just is them. They're just, you know, really nonsensical people. Mm-hmm. They are organized, they're structured. And so their house just feels like them. And I love being there.
Although it's
not something I would choose for my own space, or it's not something that I would pick for myself to live in, but I love it for them and I love being there because they're so comfortable in it. And if they're comfortable in it, it makes you comfortable in it.
Totally. I feel like as you were saying that, I could pinpoint certain people's houses that I'll go into where it's like, I don't necessarily look to them for design advice and I wouldn't pick their pieces or like those colors, but I love their house. Like, I love being there. I'm so comfy there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a really good thing to focus on is, and I think experimenting is huge with interior design. Like, and it's easier to experiment when you are like thrifting.
Yes.
Because it's just not as expensive or, you know,
sure,
the stakes aren't as high.
Yeah.
I feel like I've kind of tried to do that even with little like knickknacks, mm-hmm, or vases. I'll get a vase that's like, I have this like royal blue vase that I'm like, this is kind of a bright color, but like, I like it and I'm going to see if it looks good on my shelf.
Yeah.
And it's literally $2.
Yeah. Whereas and you'll know in a day or two, like,
exactly,
you walk by it a couple times, you're either going to love it. You're just like, oh, like I loved it there. I don't love it in my space. Like,
yeah,
I can't look at it every day.
Yeah. And I feel like there's also maybe, I don't know if this is a good, I don't even know how to like articulate this, but I feel like when you're looking at someone's space, whether it's on Pinterest or in a magazine or literally physically you're in someone's,
mm-hmm,
space and you're like, oh, I love it here.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on why. It's like, what,
yeah,
do I actually like about it? Is it like the colors? Is it the tones?
Uh-huh.
Is it the textures?
Uh-huh.
Is it just because, again, it's their vibe,
mm-hmm,
and it's like fits them so,
mm-hmm,
well? What is it that I'm drawn to? And kind of focusing on that, because I think for me, I have been drawn to certain colors and tones for like 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like ebbed and flowed,
yeah,
a little, but like the main,
mm-hmm,
things that I'm drawn to, I'm like, I always come back,
yeah,
to this specific, like these pastels and like,
mm-hmm,
this kind of terracotta,
yeah,
like warm,
mm-hmm,
desert pink color and these like light blues and greens. Like, you know,
yeah,
you kind of know
for
my,
sure,
style. And I feel like it's just naturally, I like those things,
yeah,
and I'm drawn to them. And so,
and I love it because it's a little different than my style.
Mm-hmm.
So I help some sisters where I'm from in Gilbert, and they all have like amazing tastes, but different tastes than each,
mm-hmm,
other. And I think it's so fun because all their houses are like incredible, but, you know, but definitely different than each other. And I love that.
Yeah, you gotta do you.
You gotta do you.
I was telling my mom, I was showing some tile samples for our kitchen. I was like, oh, I want to do terracotta. And I got such mixed responses. Like, some people are like, that tile's gorgeous. That's gonna look so good. And then some people were like, that is like, yeah, like, I hate that tile. Honestly, you will regret that so much. And I'm like, no, I won't, because that's what I'm drawn to.
Yeah.
Like, well, sure, maybe I would regret it. Whatever. That's, I guess, impossible to know. But I think, like, you have to do what you are drawn to.
For sure.
You don't go based off of someone else's opinion
you'll hate it.
Yeah. You got to do your own
really,
thing.
Even if it looks amazing.
Yeah.
If it doesn't feel like you, it's not home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
So how do you think someone like gets to that point though? Kind of experimenting, like I was saying, or just picking what they're drawn to, putting it in their house and,
yeah,
filling it out?
I mean, I've done a lot of experimenting,
mm-hmm,
as you know. I can't really commit to super high-end stuff because I do like to change.
Mm-hmm.
I like to change stuff up a lot, and I find, you know, something new on Facebook Marketplace and it's like out with the old and with the new, and I don't really have there's a few pieces that I really like that I'll probably never get rid of, but I mean, I'm really...
You do freshen it up quite a bit. And
I can cycle through stuff pretty easily.
Which is easier and better to do when you are getting stuff secondhand.
Oh, for sure.
And it's probably feel less...
I usually make money on whatever like I bought and get. I'm getting rid of. Like I usually.
So what is the Facebook Marketplace hack? Give us all the tea on how to find the best stuff.
Well, when we were talking about this episode, one of your things was maybe talk about one of your favorite finds from Facebook Marketplace. So this just happened recently, and this is a two for one. So I'm just, you know, perusing Facebook Marketplace one night, and it says the ad listing said table and dresser. And the front picture was a picture of a horrible picture of the corner of a heinous table. And I'm like, oh, but I wonder what the dresser is. So I, you know, I click on the first photo and then I start clicking through. It's not a dresser. Did I tell you this? Have I shown you this?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I click through it. It's not a dresser. It is the most amazing European armoire you've ever seen. This is what she's calling a dresser.
Okay.
And I'm like, hello. First of all, would you consider separating the dresser and the table? I'm really not interested in the table. And if so, how much would you want for your dresser? Mind you, this was an hour away.
The hack is not letting them know they have something.
No.
valuable.
No, not
that
letting
you want.
On. So this was an hour drive away. And I was like, it has to be really good for me these days to want to drive an hour.
Which, by the way, you send me stuff all the time on Facebook Marketplace. Problem is, it's always an hour and a half away from me.
I put your area in of where you live, and I put like, I think I put a 40 or 50 mile radius, so I don't know why it's like blowing it out so far.
Well, even 50 miles in California, I mean, that
that's
can be
true.
Like an hour and a half.
That's true. That's not in Phoenix, Arizona. That is different.
But
okay, maybe I'll tighten it up to 20 mile radius.
Yeah, she'll
send
me something like so good. It's like 2 hours away. I'm like, I cannot go for this like $50 bench.
Yeah,
for
I need to shorten your radius. Anyway, so she's like, yeah, I actually have someone else interested in the table. So I'll sell the dresser for $140. Okay. I've been to Europe lots of times. I've seen these. I know how much they cost. This was a European armoire, completely hand carved.
Is this the couple that you met? Is that that situation? Is a different thing.
So, you know, and it was big. So unfortunately, I had to ask Dad if he would come with me, which he's honestly going to be exalted, saved, sainthood, whatever is going to happen.
For all the Facebook Marketplace runs he's had to do with
you? Because I'm like, can you please hook up the trailer and go with me to pick this up? And he really was such a sport. And so I bought it first in the guise that maybe I'll sell it because, like, I know what this thing's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got it home and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not selling this.
You loved it.
This is not going to sell.
Where did it go? I don't.
It's going in the guest room. So I'm getting rid of the one I got in Scotland, actually, that I've had for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's
just time.
Yeah. And it's a little too big for that room. I've just always kept it because, like, I picked it out in Scotland and had it shipped home. And, like, it kind of has a story, but. Just the color of this one, and it's just a little bit smaller. It's perfect. So anyway, so back to the what Facebook Marketplace hacks. Maybe you don't put in keywords. Maybe you don't put in armoire. Maybe you don't put in table because people misname things all the time, or they won't name it at all. They'll put, you know, maybe you're looking for a bar cart, and they will put it under
table or stool or something.
Garden. Storage or so, you know what I mean? Like it all depends on how they're going to list it and what they put it under. And some people don't really know what they're doing.
Well, that's probably a good way to get a deal because if they don't even know what it is, then maybe they're selling it for cheaper than.
Well, exactly. Case in point is mine. Like she called it a dresser. She had no idea what she had. It's literally completely hand carved. Like the top scrolly edges aren't the same. Like you can tell someone like hand carved this one and hand carved this one because they're not like perfect. Like, it's so incredible. I can't believe I haven't shown, I don't even think I've shown you a picture of it.
I don't think I've seen it. I mean, you have a new find every day, so
I know. It's true.
But I will go to my mom's and be like, oh my gosh, this like cement table is amazing. Is it like Restoration Hardware? And she's like, oh no, I did the cement treatment on, I found it on the side of the road and then I did a cement treatment on it. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's like $30 and I thought it was like $800. So, I mean, on one hand, you obviously have a great eye and you are willing to put in time to like, really make something look good. Do you do that as much anymore though? I feel like you don't
not
like,
as
flip
much
as
because
much.
I just haven't had like the time, but I love it. Like I absolutely love doing that. I love doing DIY and all my own projects. So I haven't had a ton of time lately.
I think Facebook Marketplace is an amazing place for people to find.
It really is.
I've found a lot of good deals and things too from my house. Some of my favorite pieces are from Facebook Marketplace or consignment stores or vintage places, like,
yeah,
truly. And yeah, I think it's also a good tip to just freshen things up. Like, again, if you do get a little side table for $30, then you're not going to be as, yeah, like, oh, I cannot get rid of this because I paid, you right, know, $800, yeah, for it.
It's easier.
So it's a little bit easier to like freshen things up and stuff like that. If you struggle with your skin, number one, you are not alone. I feel like skin issues are truly have affected my confidence more than most things, whether it's redness that I'm experiencing or acne or dryness. It's really obnoxious and annoying to deal with. And it's hard to want to go out and put makeup on and all of that different stuff when you're dealing with skin issues. So we are very excited to be sponsored by Apostrophe. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin. Whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, acne, scarring, Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. You simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne, and even back, chest, and butt acne. You can treat breakouts from head to toe. I really didn't have much acne, honestly, until I was an adult, which shocked me. So it can really hit at any time. But this is really nice to have access to an expert derm team, have like a tailored treatment plan. You don't have to go in person or go to the pharmacy or anything like that. So we have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/whatwesaid when you use our code whatwesaid. That is a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/whatwesaid and click get started and then use our code whatwesaid at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. We are going to take a quick ad break to talk about the Nike Indie Bra and the Universa Legging. We are so excited about this sponsorship. We've both been wearing Nike gear since we were teenagers for any sports we were in or physical activities. We always know that we can rely on Nike. So how do you take your breaks? Do you go for a walk or a workout class? Do you like to meal plan, run to the grocery store, maybe grab coffee with a friend? You can do all of that and more in style with the Nike Indie Bra and Universa Legging. The Indie Bra now comes in 3 support levels, low, medium, and high. I personally like a high support, secure feeling bra for when I'm running or doing a cycling class, but I don't want to be wearing that all day. I like something lighter with thinner straps and smoother edges for running errands or doing things around the house. And luckily, the Nike Indie Bra has both of those options and a medium option for the in-between. All 3 are so soft and look so flattering on. The Nike Universa leggings are perfect to pair with the Indie Bra. They really help smooth and lift, stretching freely with your every move. Wherever your workout takes you, their squat-proof, mid-weight, and finish-smooth fabric gives you uncompromising comfort and feels cool and sleek to the touch. Plus, they're durable enough for you to flex, wash, and wear again and again. They're the pair you'll reach for whether you need something for your everyday run, everyday practice, or just every day. Find your feel with Nike bras and leggings that deliver supportive flexibility and comfort for whatever your day brings. Shop now at Nike.com, and that will be linked in the show notes for you guys, as always. What are some things that people can do if they live in a rental and they really can't make a lot of changes to make it feel like home?
So furniture pieces are great because you can take those with you, and they're not permanent fixtures. So yeah, really experimenting with furniture and with styling items, like, you know, there's just so many amazing little things that you can buy and use that you'll be able to take with you. Also, I mean, they always used to say that paint was the cheapest thing. Paint is really not that cheap anymore. Mm. It's not a super cheap thing to do. However, it does make a big impact, and it can be painted back if
you can always ask.
Like,
that's something that's important, is that you can't always ask your landlord. It maybe depends if you're in an apartment.
Or do you just not ask and then you just do it and
you just paint it back?
Or you can show them pictures of what you've done, and they might say, "Hey,
and they're like,
leave it." Yeah, that's
an
improvement.
Let me kick you out because I didn't give you permission. Oh wait, I'll just kick you out regardless. Amazing.
Did you paint any? You didn't paint any walls.
I didn't.
At this house.
I actually, I almost painted my back wall.
Yeah, and
the
couch.
Was on. I was going to do that, and then right when I was like, "Okay, I'm going to do it," we bought our house, and
yeah,
I was like, "I'm not going to like put in any more effort into this house."
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's always different rental agreements, and maybe you sign a rental agreement that says you won't change paint colors and stuff like that. But if you don't sign a rental agreement like that,
I think it's worth
say go for it.
Okay. Well, we'll see how your landlord reacts. But I agree. I think even if you do want to ask and say, hey, can I paint this wall or can I put like peel and stick wallpaper? I'll make sure that it's back to its original thing by the time I move out. Whether you ask or not, I feel like wallpaper, paint.
Also, you can put fabric on the wall like wallpaper. Emily Henderson on her blog just did a big blog post on it. I've done it once. I did it on the house down the street from where we live now in the boys' room. I did that once. And you know there's some amazing fabrics out there. So you can put fabric on the wall and that comes off real easily when it's time to come down.
Do you have any favorite, like you DIY'd your doors.
That was a job.
But, and kind of how I'm getting mine made in my new house, they're going to have like these
Did you find, you found them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But do you have any favorite people to follow that like do a lot of design tips or tutorials like you just mentioned? Emily Henderson, not that you got that from her. I'm just asking. Like, do you have like, people you like?
I have people that I follow for different reasons. There are some great DIYers. I'm wondering if I can come up with them off the top of my head. Jenna Sue Design. She's the one that I got the idea to do my doors. Like, she did a tutorial on them, and I'm like, wow, that's great. So Jenna Sue Design is really good. There's just some designers that I love that don't do a lot of DIY, but they just have really great taste. Lauren Lees, I think that's how you say her name, L-I-E-S-S. I love her stuff. Brooke Giannetti of Velvet and Linen. We toured her house in Ojai.
So amazing.
That was so fun. And I still like have pictures and took notes. Like I wrote stuff down when we got back in the car. They've since moved from Ojai and they live in Tennessee now, but their Ojai property was just
incredible.
It was next level. Next level.
That guy who did like the wood on the ceiling. What's his name?
Toby's Home.
Yeah, I like him too. He does some cool stuff.
Super fun, cool. Also, along that same line, and another great DIYer is Lone Fox Home.
Oh, yeah.
He does
some
really great stuff. Uh-huh. He's kind of one of the newer. Angela Rose, she also like hit it. Like she got really big really fast. She does some amazing DIY stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of people out there who you just don't really share your projects. Like, I feel like if you shared more on social media and took photos.
My social media star doesn't live with me.
Her manager moved. Me.
My photographer, my manager moved.
True. Do you have any tips for styling shelves?
Oh,
asking for a friend, aka myself, because I think that's the hardest thing for me is to style like a bookcase or just shelving. Like even Chelsea was asking me, she has like a mantle, like a little, just like a little ledge. Mm-hmm. Well, hers isn't really, her shelf is actually like really, it's not very deep. So you can't put much, but she was like, yeah, I don't really know what to do there. And I'm like, don't ask me. Like, I don't know how to style a shelf.
Okay. Well, I mean, that might be a little bit different question
different.
Than, okay. So what I learned with magazine styling is from a mentor that I worked with is, it has to make sense. It has to make sense. You cannot put a plant, I don't care if it's fake, you're not going to put it 8 foot high in the air because that makes no sense.
Not me having a plant literally on my, like 10 feet up on a shelf.
No,
right now.
That's different. I'm talking about a plant.
It is fake though.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about a plant that looks like you've got to climb up.
And water it.
A ladder to water. Like that just doesn't make sense. Cutting boards in your kitchen.
That are like up
9 or 10 feet up. This makes no sense.
Like a candle that's like too high to light or something like that.
And you're never lighting it.
Right.
If you're going to have a candle, you better freaking be lighting the candle. There's nothing worse than people that just have candles.
You heard
first
it
of all,
first.
If you put a taper up, burn the end of it. Like if you're going to put taper candles anywhere, start the end of it. Do not let it have the white wick that has never been burned. That's a bad look. Yeah, and burn your candles. My gosh, don't just save them for
because then it just looks, and feels lived in as well. I think that's like, when you're saying that, I saw this quote. It's probably like just a cheesy Pinterest quote. It said something about how it's like, we don't need generic, it was talking about art in a house. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we don't need the Bed Bath & Beyond quotes. It just doesn't feel personal or homey.
No.
Like, pick something that it feels like you and speaks to you. And it's like I know everyone has different style, but I feel like that is just like as a blanket statement. It's just putting those very generic.
I know
things that literally
that's why
live,
I
laugh,
cannot
love.
Deal with like all the mass produced art. I mean, I say that and I've got a gigantic canvas in my front room, but
What produced art do you have in your room? Not with a quote on it or something.
No, that huge canvas I have hanging above the big buffet in the front room.
Mm. You know? Yeah. Well, again, as long as you're drawn to it and if you think it's beautiful. And if you are drawn to the live, laugh, love, by all means. Live, laugh, love it up, babe. But I'm just saying it's like, I'm forgetting this quote, but it was saying something just about how like sterile that feels to just like go in, even to just like go into one store and buy just like all your whole set and like your whole thing. It just doesn't feel very like lived in and cozy. Yeah. I can't remember who was giving the advice. They were like, don't buy a set.
A bed set?
Like a bed set. Like don't buy a set
headboard,
of headboard, nightstands, dresser, the whole thing that like looks all the same, because that again is, it's not giving lived in, it's not feeling.
Are you thinking of my master bedroom?
I'm like,
I never ever do that, but I decided to.
That's like a vintage Danish
appease dad, and he loves Denmark so much, and I found like a whole set from Copenhagen, and it like it's so good. So
it's different when it's here. No, but do you know what I mean? I'm talking going into whatever it's called, a very generic store.
Yeah, living spaces.
Yeah, and just getting like the set. Again, you can literally do whatever you want. This, I'm just saying, if you're looking for a more like
comfortable, lived in,
and
cozy
specific
space
to you, like something that you're drawn to, not just like the generic thing you've seen a million times.
Yeah, that's why the mass produced, the designers that are just doing like everything brand new, it, to me, it has no soul. It has no personality. It just, like, if you have the money, you can go buy that and completely recreate the look.
Right.
And why do you want what everyone else has?
Mm-hmm.
It makes zero sense. Like, you see that for someone else, and you're literally just going to go copy it exactly and do it at your house. It makes no sense to me.
I think that's a reaction, though, when you maybe, like, feel like you don't know what to do. To be fair, because I feel even when I was saying I was pulling inspiration for our house, our new house, I'm like, sometimes it's almost easier to just go with something that you've seen a lot because you're like, well, I know it'll look good. Like, just certain, I can't even think of something specific, but it's like all white cabinets with like light marble, like a classic thing you've seen a lot. It's like, well, it does look beautiful.
Yeah, I like it. It looks nice.
It looks
and
nice.
It's safe.
And it's safer than being like, I'm going to do this like,
I'm going to experiment.
Yeah, I'm going to experiment with this like colored countertop, because it's like, well, what if I pay all that money and I don't like it? So to be fair, I think sometimes it is just easier to be like, just do like all neutral or like all white, because I just know it'll look good.
The problem is you're not going to like it because it's really not you. There are so many design exceptions now, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are kind of just doing whatever they want, and yay for that. And again, going back to what we were talking about at first, I think if you do it and it represents you and it feels like you and you're comfortable in your own space, everyone else is going to be comfortable there too.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
It doesn't matter if no one else has done it. In fact, if no one else has done it, yay.
Yeah.
Like, be the first to do something. And what is there really to lose, especially if you're, you know,
a lot of money, but
but if you're doing stuff on the cheap, like try stuff on the cheap before and really figure out what your style is before you start spending the big money.
For sure.
Rentals are a great place to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, this isn't my space, so I'm just going to kind of experiment. Also, like, I gained so much inspiration from like traveling and visiting other places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Europe obviously is full of inspiration, but even in the States, like hotel lobbies.
Yeah.
Restaurants. You know, like small shops, store windows, like those can offer so much creative spark for you to, you know, take from and expound on. Like, make it better, make it yours. Like, take that inspiration, but do something with it that represents you better.
Totally. I was, someone was saying how Pinterest is awesome for inspiration, but sometimes there's like these viral pins, you know, these viral houses or rooms that just go big on the internet, and then it becomes extremely popular to do whatever was on that. And so this girl, she was just giving advice because she was designing her home. She's like, my advice is to like sometimes get off Pinterest because it's, maybe if you're taking little things from each thing.
You. Yeah, it'll start influencing all your choices.
Yeah, but it's like if you're just going to recreate someone's kitchen, chances are if that's like a viral pin, you're going to start seeing a lot of kitchens that look just like that. Which there's nothing wrong with. Again, if you're so drawn to it and you're obsessed with it, who cares really if someone else across the world has a similar one, or who really cares? But yeah, it's just about kind of honing in on your own thing.
I love the weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure you've seen those reels and stuff, like, buy the weird stuff. Fill your house with the weird stuff.
And it'll I
just
haven't
like,
seen that.
Really? It'll just like,
are we talking about the hornet's nest?
Ooh.
My mom literally made my dad climb a tree and get a hornet's nest.
No, he roped it.
He get a dried up hornet, not an active
no,
nest.
No, no. This was in the dead of winter in Canada. The wasp, the hornets had left, completely left. And I did my research. They don't come back. So
okay. So we're being sustainable.
So I'm being sustainable. Okay. I was not taking their home. They never reuse the same nest, but it's really cool.
It's like a sculptural, like, it's like a
so
nest.
Cool.
It looks almost like, what even
really
is it?
Really thin, like scalloped paper, like marbled paper.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
How did
and
you,
it has
how
maple
did you know
leaves,
to get
like,
that?
Stuck
have
in
you
it.
Seen someone use
I've
it?
Seen them in, like, antique stores in Canada.
Mm.
But they're always, like, at least $200 or $300.
Mm.
And then dad told me, don't you dare tell my dad you want one of those, because he'll literally climb a tree, and he's 88. He'll climb a tree to get you one. And I'm like, okay, I won't say anything. But when I was just in Canada in February, and
like, but you will be climbing the tree.
And me and dad were walking. We saw one that was kind of low, because they're always up at the top of a tree. And then you don't see them until, you know, because they make them in the springtime and the summertime, and the trees are all full. And then they vacate them when the leaves start falling. So you don't see them until, like, all the leaves are off a tree. So anyway, I had the idea to pull the car up under it and stand on the top of the car.
The things she makes my father do.
And dad is like, no, I'm getting a rope. And I'm like, ooh, brilliant. So
that was much easier.
Yeah.
So do you have it displayed in your house yet?
No,
you
I still have it out, like, drying. Like, I want it to be completely dry because it was, like, it was snowy and wet when I brought him from Canada. So I wanted to sit out on the Phoenix heat and, like, really dry up. I don't want it to have any, like, weird smell or anything. So
she traveled across country lines with a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
If you don't have that kind of commitment to your house, then I don't know what to tell you.
What about when I came home from France with a goat milking stool in my like, carry-on that I was carrying on with my bag?
There's always something. Well, what are, like, little things that you think, off the top of your head, that someone that are maybe more affordable that you could find if you are at a thrift store, like, to spruce things up or change things up in your house, even if it's, like, you know, right now it's spring. I like to usually freshen things up for a new season, whether it's, like, a different throw pillow, candle, whatever. So are there things that come to mind?
Easy. I mean, fresh flowers are always a go-to.
Mm-hmm.
Trader Joe's flowers are not expensive. Foraging flowers are free.
She's like, go into your neighbor's yard and dig them up with a shovel and then host a Facebook sale. It's free. You guys, it's free.
We know this works. No, like, I mean, you can forage, like, really cool, huge branches. You can forage. So much stuff is growing on the side of the road. I mean, our roses are in full bloom right now, so I'm not buying any flowers because I literally have a fresh bouquet of white iceberg roses every few days. Like, they're huge.
You just go and trim them off your little tree.
So fresh flowers are just a must for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just gotta.
They make every space better.
Yeah, you just gotta have fresh flowers. They are a nice refresher that they're not. I mean, Trader Joe's are like, you can do whatever, $4.99, $5.99 a bunch. Mm-hmm. And, like, the carnations will literally last for 2 weeks. So if you really need them to last, get the mini carnations. They last forever. Yeah, like you said, a throw blanket, a throw pillow. I like to just change, you know, things from heavy to a little bit lighter with the seasons. I mean, you can find just so many little cute things. I just found a little trio of three ducks, like ceramic ducks. Actually, they're not very small. They're probably 12 inches at a thrift store for $10. It's, like, so springy. So just, you know, I always think, like, a plate collection that you can just, like, if you like blue and white, like, start collecting blue and white china from thrift stores and do, like, a plate wall.
Cute.
So cheap, such a great impact, or just antique plates, or, you know, all different shades of pink plates, or, like, you can just get really creative with stuff that just really doesn't cost very much money.
I feel like glassware also is such,
that's
like,
fun.
At Goodwill or just any thrift
store.
Super
available.
So available. You can always find something, and whether it's, like, a vase to put little flowers in or something, and you can candle holders always at thrift store, or, like, actual cups, like, I've found really cool,
like, drinking glasses
that are
mugs,
just, like,
really fun during the winter. So many mugs, they're so easy to find there,
and plates and just, like, collections like that, I feel like are
luckily
really fun.
I have, like, you know, all different silverware, like, I've collected tons of it in France, and then whatever I had, and, like, mine's just all mixed up. Like, I'll just get all kinds of whiteware for dinner plates. So I'll have, you know, lots of different shapes and patterns, but mm-hmm. like it's just kind of a fun mix. And then, you know, again, I don't stress when something breaks. I don't stress when I have to replace something because
yeah, there are no rules either. Like I have so many random cups, like drinking glasses really that don't match with others because they're like one-off things I've found at thrift stores that I just think it's a cool yeah. like shape or something. I'm actually obsessed with glassware. Leif's like, put down the cup. Like we have so many. I've actually yeah. been having to get rid of some. But again, I don't care because it was so cheap
yeah.
to buy. But I love a new fun glass for like my beverages. I just think it's a fun way to like freshen up my life.
It is. And just kind of elevate, like you talk about romanticizing your life. Uh-huh. Like you get a new fun cup.
And you make a little drink in it and yeah. it just feels.
Can I talk about my favorite drink right now?
Fresh. Yeah, of course.
The peach fresca. Have we talked about it?
No, I want it though. What is it?
Oh my gosh, you never had it?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. So it comes in the can.
Okay.
Peach fresca. And I think they have a grapefruit one.
I think I've had grapefruit fresca. Fresca okay. is really good.
Okay. Well, the peach one is to die for.
Really?
Like we need to go find one after this.
Okay.
Peach fresca. And then I put like just a touch of cream in it. And then like to really elevate it, a little bit of lime. I'm going to get some new glassware.
It's giving
me. Because my
mom.
Glassware is Haney. So this is inspiring me. Oh, yikes.
Did you see that Dr. Pepper has come out with like a Dr. Pepper coconut cream version?
Uh-huh.
And like Coffee Mate has now made like creamer for Dr. Pepper. Basically.
Oh, really?
It is all like, this is the Mormons doing 100%. You know how they have soda
shops
and stuff?
All the dirty sodas.
Yeah, the dirty sodas. Uh-huh. Like it is now becoming mainstream and it's becoming so popular because even what you just said with like, oh, Fresca, put
oh,
a little cream in it. Like that is a dirty soda, quote unquote.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
That, I almost said normal people, but it's like that a lot of people would be yeah. like, cream? Like what are you, what
oh
you mean?
My gosh.
But it's so good.
Oh, you guys have
like,
to try this.
Soda.
The peach Fresca can be a little bit hard to find, but I have found it at Walmart.
Thank you
like
for the
by tip. By the case.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
I love a fruity drink lately.
It's just like, it's so light.
Mm.
It's really good. I can't wait for you to try it.
Delicious. Maybe we'll have to go mm-hmm. get some after this. We're circling back on the shelving question because we're realizing all we got was that it just has to make sense. But what are some other, like, is it good to have levels when you're styling a shelf?
Okay. So there are different ways to style shelves. Obviously you can like pack them up, which as a style I love. Like I think it can look so
what do you mean
cozy.
Put a lot of stuff
yeah
in it?
Like just a lot of collected like books at thrift stores are just so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the spines of them, turn them around and show, you know, not the table but turn the title but turn them around, show the pages.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a really fun look. So anyway, you can stuff shelves or you can do them super minimally.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your style and of course then there's everything in between, but collections work really well. Colors, like if you want high contrast, that works. Or if you want like monochromatic. Like if you have a bunch of books, maybe all your red books and then switch to all your brown books and then switch to like to make it look
shelves.
A little, yeah, to make it look a little more cohesive. Or uh-huh. if you have one long shelf, like just kind of a rainbow, you know, uh-huh. just like, but keep your colors kind of an ombre look, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then just fill it with stuff that means something.
Mm-hmm.
Do not, please, please do not go to Target and buy all the stuff for a shelf. Like, that's just so generic.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for stuff. I have a hummingbird nest on one of my shelves. Matt, I have something for nest.
Theme? Go get a nest, you guys. It's easy.
But a hummingbird nest? Oh, my gosh. That mother hummingbird had her babies in our honeysuckle outside the back door, and we watched her. And then we watched the babies fly away that day, and I did my research. The hummingbirds do not come back to their nests. So I took it out and it's just so tiny and adorable. Like we have this owl that lives in the tree in the back. He's there every night. And sometimes his big long feathers will be on the driveway in the morning. So I have some of it. I just keep collecting his feathers and I have them like in a jar, you know, in like a little pottery vessel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make it meaningful. Make it mean something to you. Pictures of families, like
mm-hmm.
get pictures of your family up and around. Don't just keep buying generic art. Like do something that means blow up vacation photos, even if it's just scenery. It doesn't always have to have people in it.
I saw this really cute, like almost collage thing that someone did. I need to show you. I was wanting to do it for our dinner office. It's like
a gallery wall.
No, it was like all in one frame, but it was like photo booth pictures and like items. It was just like meaningful
uh-huh.
items to them all in like a frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cute. And I was
cute.
Like, I want to do more stuff like that in this house because I don't feel like I have a ton of generic art, I guess. Like most of my art, I find at vintage stores and
yeah.
stuff. But it also is hard. Someone was like, how do you shop for art? Because it's so hard to like make it all coordinate, which I agree with. Like I've gotten some art sometimes and I'm like, this is all like together. It's not really vibing. It's hard. Yeah.
But if you have an interest, like say you're into horses, maybe you just collect all sorts of Western art.
Right.
Or
if
something
you kind of
that
have a theme.
Yeah. If you kind of have a theme, you've seen those gallery walls that are just so eclectic, but it works. Mm-hmm. And they just, that's such a great thing to thrift and look for, because you can find cool frames. You can find cool art.
You can kind of be like, okay, I'm going to do like a floral theme.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to do an ocean theme. I'm going to do a desert theme.
Yes.
And I feel like it does make it easier.
Yes. I'm doing a ship. S-H-I-P. Sometimes it sounds not good.
Thank you for the clarification.
Boats.
Ship
theme in Dad's office. And I've just been collecting like that kind of art. And I've gotten some really fun pieces. And I wasn't looking for anything like that, or I wasn't really drawn to that until I started thinking, okay, I'm going to do like a collage wall with that.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, I have found the coolest and just amazing boat ship art.
Yeah. That's a cool idea. That's a good idea too, to like kind of narrow down. Cause sometimes I think it's daunting to be like,
or you're collecting portraits, like you don't know who they are, but like you just find these, you know, oil paintings or whatever of people. And like, that's just interesting.
And it's giving haunted, I will say.
They don't have to be. They don't have to be scary photos.
I'm kidding. No, I think that's a good little tip.
Yeah,
for art, because that is hard for me. I feel like I have
art is very subjective.
You know my poodle that I have.
Oh.
I'm obsessed with this poodle. Oh. I got this red. It's like the problem is
it's a needlepoint.
It's a needlepoint little
stitched.
Yeah, stitched art,
so
and it's
cute.
Like kind of big. I mean,
it is.
And it's a red background. And it's
kind
a little
of a salmon-y red, though. It's not like cherry red.
No.
It's not like fire engine red.
No, but it's kind of bold, you know? And then it's a little white poodle. And I just, like, can't explain. But, like, when I saw it, I'm like,
I have
that's
to have
coming
that.
Home with me. Like, yeah. I don't know. That doesn't even go with, like, the colors that I ever
anything,
have.
Yeah.
But, like, it that has to
it's
be in
so
my house.
It's so cute.
But I haven't really, found a place
for
it.
You haven't found a prominent place for it in this house, but you will in a new house. And even if it doesn't go with things, people are going to love it because it's so you.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
And you look at that and you know that you love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to pick stuff that you're drawn to.
Yeah.
And I feel like
it's weird. I mean, that was a weird thing.
That's weird.
That's why I'm saying get the weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, get the stuff that you're just like, this makes no sense, but for some reason, like, this has to come home with me.
I'm just in love with it. Yeah. And maybe that's deeper, like, as I was thinking about it, it's like you kind of have to have a sense of self or, like, know, you know what I mean, to even
know what you love?
Yes, to, like, get to a point where, like, I'm so drawn
confident,
to that
confident, and I'm confident enough to say, I don't know what I'm going to use that for. I don't know how I'm going to use it, but I love it, and I'm taking it.
I actually feel like at the beginning of, like, even when Leif and I first got married, I did have a lot more generic stuff. Like, I think I was, like, starting to make money, and I was like, I can afford West Elm. Like, I want to. And I remember you just being like, why do you want what everyone has? Like, get something, you know? And now I feel like I have such, it's just like the older you get, you turn into your mom. But I feel like I have such an appreciation now for just like those fun, unique pieces, because I do feel like that, where it's like, you know, it doesn't even matter if I don't even want to now like go into a nice store and just like pick out a set.
I mean, they have their place. They do have their place.
Oh, wait, that was going to be one of my design tips.
Oh.
Since all of you guys were begging to know, is like a mix of new and vintage.
Because
I think like sometimes when I've had too much old stuff, I'm like,
for sure,
it's feeling to me like very, I don't even know the word,
granny chic.
Yeah, it's giving grandmother, and it's kind of feeling like
too
old, and it's just not
fresh.
But if you have a mix of like my bed is like more modern and whatever, but then I have like a vintage dresser, and I feel like. And my nightstands are new, but then I'll have like a vintage vase on with flowers in it.
Right.
And to me, that mix,
I love that. And that's what I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some new stuff. You cannot just have old vintage.
Everything.
You can. Do whatever you want. But you can't appreciate it. You can't appreciate all the great old stuff if you don't have anything like new, clean lined. You know what I mean? Just kind of sturdy. Solid pieces. Like, you've got to have some of those.
And even though most of the stuff in your house is secondhand, some of it is still new. Like,
oh, for sure.
Like, some of the pieces that you have, like your couches, or I can't even think of off the top of my head, but like, you've had pieces in your house that are like restoration hardware pieces, but she just got them for cheaper on Facebook Marketplace.
The Crate and Barrel sofas, the two matching Crate and Barrel sofas in the front room.
Yeah.
Found them on Facebook Marketplace, $600 for the pair.
Yeah.
like, those are coming home with me. Thank you very much.
Of course.
And yeah, so of course. So yeah, those are new. But then, you know, I have that big, huge antique German sideboard and right. it's so old. But then I have kind of a newer bookcase, like a, yeah. you know, a clean line bookcase.
And then more vintage pieces on the bookcase.
Yeah.
I think that's an important detail because I was thinking about right. that. Because in our house, like, we have the cloud couch and it's so comfy. And I've honestly just don't feel like I can get rid of it. Like,
oh, it's so comfy.
It's so comfy. I was thinking about in the new house if we want a different vibe. And I'm just like, it is just.
I begged her to not get rid of it.
Comfy. I don't think I can do without it.
I've slept on it. We've had so many times.
I know.
Good times and bad times.
I know. I think you're going to need to come over to my new 200 square foot apartment that I'll be living in. I don't know how many square feet it is. Our tiny little spot that we're moving into. I was thinking, like, I hope we can put a few things in here to make it feel a little cozy and homey. Because
Can I talk about it? It's already furnished. Yeah. Can I talk about another cozy, homey thing that I think goes hand in hand?
Of course.
With design.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess what I'm going to say?
That goes hand in hand with design?
Yeah. Like making a place homey and cozy.
I can't guess.
Okay. You gotta be baking something.
I was about to say food, but I'm
you
like,
gotta
I don't know
be
if you're going
eating
there.
Something good. Your house has got to smell good. I don't care if it is a candle. Like, you gotta, there's gotta be some.
You gotta appeal to the senses.
You gotta appeal to
the. What is she pulling out of something of her bag? She's like, which brings me to my fresh baked. What is this?
My fresh baked cookies.
Stop, Mom. You're joking.
No.
What
These
is this?
These are so good.
If this is not the most Jill-coded thing I have ever seen. Pulls out fresh baked cookies in a, like, custom box.
Please taste them.
What are they?
They're so good. They're a French cookie.
Wow, you made these?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm surprised. Okay. Uh-huh. ASMR.
Aren't they so good? Like a
wow,
little shortbread?
It's like shortbread.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You gotta have something good to eat. It goes right hand in hand. Do you not agree?
No, they're so good. I just don't want the mouth noises to trigger people. Mm. Those taste like they're straight out of a French bakery.
Mm-hmm. That was the object.
That was the goal.
That was the goal. So, yeah, I think that really, it does go hand in hand with good design in my mind. Like, you've got to bake something. You've got to cook something. Your house has to smell like, you know, when you walk into someone's house in the winter and it just smells like a soup is simmering. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you walk in and you smell fresh bread. Like, it just is.
It definitely adds a lot.
It adds so much to.
But also, if you're a hardworking girl boss and you don't have time to bake bread.
Get a good candle.
Mm-hmm. You are still valuable. Mm. I just made soup the other night and we walked back in our house after I made mm-hmm. it. And I was like, mm-hmm. I must admit, it feels and smells so cozy
yeah.
in here.
I mean, I think it really adds. I think it really does. Mm-hmm. You know, something else I love is the Palo Santo sticks.
The sticks, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have those. I love those.
I love those. And you just burn the end of them for 25 seconds or something, snuff it out, and then just like they kind of smoke.
Yeah.
So you just kind of carry them around your spaces and your rooms and kind of wave the smoke and it just leaves this little, you know, that Palo Santo is just so
good. Yeah, it
smells
really
good. I love that smell. Also, Amber Interiors has some of the best smelling candles that you can buy. Mm. They're so good.
They are really good.
They have a storefront here in Lido.
Mm-hmm.
And you can order, of course, online, but she has some really, really good candles.
A candle is a great way to make your house smell good. I saw this thing. It was like my favorite time of the day, or like my favorite, I don't remember exactly how it's worded, is when I finally, like, it looks like no one lives in my house and I light my candle. Basically, it's like you've cleaned everything up and
perfect.
All the like pillows are fluffed uh-huh. and you light a candle and you're just like, oh,
yes,
it feels so good. It really does. It's so cozy.
Yeah.
Well, we could probably talk for a lot longer, but thank you so much.
We will.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
And
for
joining
me
today. I'm sure people will love this cozy episode, I hope.
I hope so.
And we'll have to have you and Stephanie, Chelsea's mom, back on at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I would love
that was
to
fun.
Do another, like, well, Mother's Day is a little, it's too close at this point,
yeah.
but maybe like next year.
That'd be fun.
I mean, it doesn't have to be on Mother's Day, but it would be fun to do another episode with you guys. Or maybe Chelsea can bring her mom on when I'm on maternity leave or something.
For sure. She's fun.
Yeah, she is a fun gal. Thank you guys so, so much for listening. You guys can watch on YouTube too. If you did not know, you can get a visual of us eating our cookies. And also, Jilly did not design this ugly space. So let's keep that in mind first. So you're not getting design tips from anyone who touched this. Okay?
It's going to be Don't worry. It'll be cute.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to give me some tips after this. I know you're not a set designer, but you guys can subscribe on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify. If you're feeling extra generous, go ahead and leave us a rating and review. 5 stars. It would mean the world to us. We love you guys so, so much. And
that's what we said.
Bye. Bye.
'Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.